Now, how are you, Dick?
Well, I'm good because I'm seeing the sun for the first time in about 7 months. So, the summer has come like clockwork after the coldest, wettest spring I can ever remember in my 48 years here in Seattle. So, it's glorious finally, and hopefully it'll stay that way for the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, well, I hope so for your sake. And the sun was certainly shining in, California there in San Francisco and around the Bay Area as Golden State clinched a fourth title in 8 years last Friday, our time here in Australia. But what does this mean for the legacy of, this period in that franchise's history and also for Steph Curry?
I think it means more for Steph than it does for necessarily the Warriors, because I think the Warriors have already cemented themselves as the dynasty of the past decade in the NBA, despite LeBron's presence, threatening that, obviously. LeBron bouncing around, you can't really have a dynasty if LeBron bounces around to different teams. But the Warriors had held that mantle as the best team over the last decade in the NBA. But what it did for Steph was it gave him a championship without Kevin Durant, which he had before, but really before it was the Splash Brothers, right? It was the threesome. It was Steph, Clay, Draymond Green. And while Draymond Green played a part in this championship, Clay had a few moments in this championship. This was Steph's championship, and he played at an MVP level the entire series, save one game where he couldn't hit a three, but the rest of the time, and particularly in that game four where he just went absolutely bananas, that was one of the all-time great performances. And I think that performance will live for a long, long time. We'll be talking about that individual performance in that game, and then also Steph's performance in this championship. That is going to last a long time. And Steph, I think, cemented himself as a top 10 player in the NBA by getting that championship.
Dick, the other thing as well that I don't think we talk enough about with great athletes is how tough they are. Again, you look at certain players and they might have aggression, or they might be tough on the court or on the sporting field. But for me, any time a player can play for such a long period of time and stay at the top, they prove their toughness. And I think you just look through this final series. Again, there was talk after game one or game two that Steph's out with his foot injury. Don't tell me he wasn't uncomfortable or in pain or struggling with it, yet he still not only finds a way to show up, but still set the standard and compete the way he did.
Guys, I've been wrong a lot about NBA players, but I don't know about if I've been wrong more about anybody than I was about Steph Curry coming out of Davidson. I mean, a small school, small player, looked like he was 12 years old when he got drafted by the Golden State Warriors. He wore those baggy uniforms at Davidson, which made him look even smaller than he actually was. And, you know, I just thought, I was like, okay, he's going to be a nice role player that hits threes for some teams, but he'll get totally manhandled on the defensive end. But what I underestimated was Steph Curry's, like you mentioned, his durability and also his heart and his healthy cockiness. Everybody has to have a cockiness about him, but Steph has a healthy cockiness. It's not a Draymond Green in your face cockiness. It's kind of appealing, right? It's kind of appealing where you don't hear anything.
It's a strut. That's what it is. It's a strut.
And you don't see anything until he buries the final nail in your coffin. Yeah. And then he does the little, I'm putting you to sleep, or he points to his finger and there's my ring. Like, he saves it for the very end as the curtain goes down. It's just delivered so beautifully by Steph.
And what about the NBA draft coming up, Dick? Can anyone recruit well out of the draft and maybe push forward through the next season?
Well, it's going to be tough because those teams that are drafting at the top, they're truly bad basketball teams. I mean, that's why they're in the lottery, right? So they're a few years away. The Magic and the Thunder and the Rockets and the Kings, the Pistons, those teams are picking 1 through 5. They are a long way away from not only competing for a championship, but competing for even a playoff spot right now, as many of those teams were, 10, 15 games out of playoff contention. I do like the top end of this draft. I don't see a bona fide superstar, But I do see three or four players that are going to be long time, you know, 10 to 15 year veterans in this league that maybe get to an all-star game or two. Jabari Smith from Auburn is projected to go number one. Chet Holmgren, who I saw a lot of at Gonzaga, obviously following those guys. You know, Chet's got to get bigger and stronger, but he has got kind of a European style game, guys. He's like, he's skinny and long, but he's got all the skills in the world, like you'd see from one of those 6'11", you know, super thin guys that come over from Europe, like a Kristaps Porzingis, maybe with a better jump shot. Is Chet Holmgren, and then Paolo Banchero is a guy that played his high school ball here in Seattle and spurned my beloved Washington Huskies to go to Duke. How dare he? But that was probably the right call, as he was able to lead that Duke team into the NCAA Final Four. I think he's probably the most polished of all of them right now, you know, well-rounded of them all of them right now. And, he's a guy that I think if Houston can get him at three, which is where he's projected to go, I think that he could be a building block and really truly be a number one option on a very good team in just a few years. I like Jaden Ivey as well from Purdue. He's kind of a Ja Morant type guy, super athletic. He's got good range. He built that Purdue team into a formidable force over the last couple years. So Benedict Mathurin from Arizona, another a point guard. That can also play off guard, big kid, a big strong guard that's athletic and a good leader. So there's some guys at the top of that draft that I think we're going to see some good depth in this draft, where we're not going to have a lot of busts, but I don't think we're necessarily – you don't have LeBron James in this draft. You don't have, Kevin Durant in this draft. You don't have – I don't think you have an all-time NBA player in this draft.
Jabari Smith, $1.65 favorite with Tab to go number one. There's markets open there on the app. Now, Dick, in the NFL news overnight, that Rob Gronkowski is retiring for a second time. What does this mean for Tom Brady and also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, I'm sure that Rob and Tom Brady, as good a relationship as they have, I mean, I'm sure that this was discussed numerous times before this announcement was mentioned or was made, rather. And I guess it's the second time for Rob. I don't know if he ever officially announce retirement the first time, or did he kind of sort of allude to retiring? I don't even remember. Before he went to Tampa Bay, there seemed to be talk about retirement with Rob Gronkowski. But he goes down in history, guys, as a top three or four tight end in the history of the league, and certainly as probably the winningest tight end in the history of the league, not only being with Brady in Tampa Bay, but certainly all his years in New England. But he's right up there with the Kellen Winslows and the Tony Gonzalez and, now the Travis Kelce's that are going through right now. I mean, everybody will mention Rob Gronkowski in the breath of the greatest tight ends ever to play the game, even if he didn't necessarily have all the numbers, because he was banged up quite a bit, and so he missed quite a few games with injuries. But just as far as individual dominance at that position, there wasn't anybody that could guard Rob Gronkowski when he was at his best.
And finally, in golf, I see that Brooks Koepka and also Abraham Ancer have now left to go to the LIV Tour. So how is the PGA Tour responding at the moment? I see they're going to talk about increasing the prize purses.
So what the PGA Tour is doing, which I think is interesting, because just the PGA Tour really slapped the LIV, as Jay Monahan dismissed the LIV Tour as exhibitions, right? Well, what is the PGA Tour doing now? They're putting 8 exhibitions out there where they pay guys money without even having to make a cut. So that's a little bit ironic that he's doing that. What they're doing is they're going to have 8 tournaments beginning next year that are going to be sprinkled throughout the year that are, I guess, they kind of seem like World Golf Championship type events where there's no cut, except they have a massive purse. I mean, a $20 million purse for these tournaments. You're talking, if I'm doing the math right, I mean, that seems to be about, $4 or $5 million for first place for these tournaments that they're going to sprinkle around to try to entice these guys to stay in the PGA Tour. It's really been distasteful on both sides. I, as a huge golf fan, I don't like the way that it's gone. And yet I can't really blame guys like Brooks Koepka for taking what I can imagine will be hundreds of millions of dollars. If they were offering DJ 125 or 150 and Phil 200, I can imagine that Brooks, his Q rating's right there with DJ. So I imagine he's in the he's in the triple digits of hundreds of millions of dollars to go to this tour.
Yeah, sadly, I know what I'd be doing. Going straight to Vegas. Good on you, Dick. Thanks so much.
See you, boys. Talk to you next week.